You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog.
You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog.
Shalom, aloha, and as always, may the Lord bless and keep you every single day. Welcome to the Man Dog Pod, the improv and conversation podcast with me, Dan Lippert, and my co-host, Ryan Rosenberg. Good afternoon, Ryan.
Good afternoon, Dan. That's right. We are the newly Christian improv podcast, the only one you're going to hear, and folks, it's going to be worth it. How are you today, Dan?
I'm living in the light of Christ, and I can't complain. Oh.
You know what? I find that I can't not live in the light of Christ even when I try.
Here's the thing. I'm self-conscious already. Obviously, we are making fun of loving Christ. At the same time, I don't care if you do, but I am obsessed with people who it's their whole life. We'll bring our guests on, and I'll put a pin in this story. because you can't spell light of Christ without our next guest. Dhruv Uday Singh, welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing, Dhruv?
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I'm in the words of Isaiah 14:12, I am doing like the Shalaktites walking around Calamite. Just great.
Yes,
shallots and onions, of course, big in the Bible. Shallots, huge.
Shallots big, and onions. Dhruv, returning guests, happy to have you here. Always, like we said beforehand, throwing heaters. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. Yeah.
I'll also add to that list of wonderful monikers for Dhruv, host of our most recent poker night.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
We used to have an office together.
Uh-huh.
And we'd play
poker at the office sometimes. And then in the pandemic, we gave up that office because, you know, you couldn't fraternize with other people in a small room.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But now it's back.
And speaking of back, this guy's got at least one of them. Another returning guest that we love to see every time, John Mackey. Hi, John.
Oh, I hope you guys are having a blessed day.
Oh, blessed we are.
To you.
We are. Yeah. Now, John, when's the last time you took communion?
When I was probably about 14 years old. And I did a good one.
So you were raised Catholic?
No, they do communion in all the Christian faiths for the most part. But the difference is I was raised Methodist, but like unseriously. Mm. Like my mom and stepdad were always just kind of like, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And we're never really pushy about it. But I would go to the Methodist church and we did communion. We got a little cup of grape juice, but then you yanked a little piece of bread off of a big loaf. They'd come around with a big loaf. And you'd pull a little piece of bread out, and I would always try to get a little extra bread going.
Was it pre-cut, or was it just like a sloppy loaf?
No.
Everybody was
a sloppy loaf. Everybody
on.
did a pinch off of.
That's kind of cool, I guess, community-wise, but it seems disgusting. I mean, not anymore.
Yeah, it's strange. It was a really strange ritual, but I did it all the time. And then one time I did go to a Catholic church, and they like very specifically were like, if you're not Catholic, you can't take communion here.
Wow.
And I'm kind of stuck on the bread.
Was this a sourdough bread? What kind of bread are we talking about?
It was kind of like, do you ever go to like the grocery store nowadays and you see one of those really crusty round loaves? They're like just like a round loaf. I don't think it's sourdough. It's just like a kind of like really crusty dinner bread. Mm. And that was generally what it was. It always seemed freshly baked, at least.
Of course.
I don't think it was like a prepackaged, like store-bought. I think somebody baked it.
That'd be annoying.
But I don't know.
If the one you had to eat, they brought in the cheapest one, it's like, hey, let's give Christ
like for the kids.
Respect.
No offense, but I'm eating
for
Jesus
the kids,
here.
They bring
give
in
me
like,
a good bread.
Jesus here. This is Jesus here.
This is Jesus' body.
This is Jesus here. You're telling me Jesus' body is Wonder Bread? Get out of here.
Now,
is it always the same type of bread? It's always like white bread and crusty loaf.
I mean, in my church, it looked the same every single time. It looked like they had maybe just like flipped the previous loaf over and were like hiding.
I have a scene idea. Oh. Hey, Father, can I talk to you for a second?
Yes,
I've really been troubled lately with something at the church, and I wanted to bring it up to you.
Yes, have a seat, my son. I'm so sorry to hear you're being troubled, and this is exactly the place to come to.
Thank you very much, and that's okay. I think it is something that we can solve together. I was just wondering, because I was in here the other day, and I took communion, and...
I remember, I saw you, yes. We're happy to have you back.
Thank you very much. It was nice to commit and really recommit my relationship with the Lord and the love that I get from him and have back to him. I was just wondering if we were ever going to change up the style of bread for the communion.
Are you referencing the body of Christ?
Yes, it just seems like we've been eating the same type of bread, and I don't know that anybody's really a fan of it. I think everybody loves the metaphor, but the bread itself, you know, we could do something a little more interesting.
I hear you. I do, and obviously we have made it very... a big priority to keep up here and to make sure that we're not falling behind the times of the culture and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But the purpose of the bread is not to have a nice meal.
Of course.
But as the metaphor of the body of Christ, and of course we take the blood of Christ. And, you know, my wife does bake it on a weekly basis.
Of course, Father. Of course. And I understand.
Did I say wife? I meant sister.
Yeah, I understand the pickle that you're in. Of course. Of course, Father. Of course. I understand the pickle that you're in, sort of having to use this, if I may be frank, subpar bread that's provided to you because someone you care about has made it. I just wonder if maybe people would connect more with the story, connect more with the body of Christ, if it were tastier.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, let's... You know, for you, I'll give it a shot. Next week, I will of course bring in my lovely sister's bread, but I will have another option, and we'll pass around. Unless there's one you like or a place you'd like the bread to come from.
I was thinking an onion loaf. I mean, there's nothing. I wasn't thinking that much about it, but some sort of onion loaf or maybe a focaccia of some sort.
No, it's still going to be kind of a standard. Bread.
Plain
bread. But if you want, we're willing to go as far as sourdough here, I would say.
Okay. I'm just, Father, my only reason is I really look up to you, and I see myself getting more serious with my relationship with the Lord every day, and I just don't want anything to be impeding anybody, you know? Some of that bread is a little stale, a little
dry.
Are
you holding your Christianity, like, hostage here for a good bread? That was like
Of course not.
Listen, I'm not going to have a mafia shakedown of your religious beliefs here. The Lord can see right through it.
Of course not. I would just be surprised if I'm the only one, to be honest.
Well, okay. Next week, I will try.
Tag out Rosenberg. Hey, welcome to Katz's is Daily. Can I help you?
Yeah. Okay, a little chaotic in here.
Yeah, we get a lot of tourists this time of year. So.
Sorry, am I in the right place here? I picked a
number. Yeah, this is the bakery section. Right. Let me know if you want to pick something up.
Yeah. Great, yeah. I'll take what's this one that's kind of looks like a hair, like a braided hair? Am I being offensive?
That's a latke. It's the pieces of the latke kind of all... Each piece is
a... Oh, that's a potato pancake?
That's a potato pancake, exactly.
Okay.
It's a little hair. I understand. Listen, I see the robes. I understand you're... Maybe this isn't your... You know, you haven't been in here before or something like that.
But. Yes. Yeah, but I'm looking for an interesting bread. Something... But nothing too... forgive my language, because this isn't what I mean about you, but nothing too crazy.
Okay. Wow, I'm really trying to not take that offensively, but
well, you know,
we cut to church the next week. Father, thank you so much for this communion. I just really quick question. I have my little glass of wine, and I'm noticing what seems to be a sort of buffet spread of different breads that we can sort of choose which bread. And I know the consecration process is turning the bread into Jesus. You know, I'm a very devout Catholic, so I just want to make sure that
I know Christian. Yes,
every bread that I sort of choose, any bread that I choose, is sort of imparting the same sort of spiritual purpose.
I assure you that you will still be consuming the body of Christ here, whether you're just doing the classic white bread or if you're doing the braided chocolate challah over here.
Are these the tongs for the pastrami? Are these the pastrami tongs?
Yes, so those are the thighs of Christ.
Meaty.
Yeah, we're kind of changing things up here a little bit. So you get not only do we have the body of Christ, we have the blood of Christ, we have the thighs of Christ, which you can do with a nice little hair of Christ, which is of course the slaw.
I'm sorry, just
really quickly.
Yes,
I noticed that there is also a few different soup options.
Yes, of course. That's the leaky nose.
Don't
of Christ.
Tell me
that's the leaky nose of Christ. Yeah. So
okay. So it's, and in, I was gonna, inside I thought it was a be big something grosser.
Matzo booger of Christ, right there.
I'm sorry. I know you guys were talking. I had a really crazy lunch on accident this weekend. Would it be okay if I made a triple decker out of this sandwich?
Well, we're not saying crazy actually about this kind of food. As I learned, we're trying to avoid that kind of language, but.
Yeah, okay, then I'll just make a regular sandwich.
No, you could still make the same kind of thing. It's just, you know, we are still trying to remember the metaphor here of consuming Christ.
Of course. I'll just build my sandwich and I'll let you know that the bottom's going to be the body of Christ. And then there's going to be a nice layer of the fat of Christ's mayo and then the thighs of Christ on top of that.
Yum.
Followed by curdled Christ, as well as Christ hair, a little more fat of Christ, and then another body of Christ.
Okay. So it sounds like that was rye bread, Thousand Island, pastrami, Swiss cheese, a little more.
It's a number 16.
Tag out Rosen. I got Rosenmacki. Father, I know you're not familiar, you know, used to the archdiocese visiting your church. As I understand it, the church has been overrun with tourists from Manhattan coming in.
Yeah. We've got a lot of people coming in and taking pictures and stuff. We're selling shirts now.
I'm very pleased with the turnout, obviously. We love people coming to the church. It just seems a lot of people are, you know, hanging out at that table over there and saying, this is where Meg Ryan orgasms and things like that. This is not the purpose of our church.
Well, we did get Rob Reiner to shoot When Harry Met Sally 2 here. And, you know, they did a little bit of a reference in there. And
look,
and
I don't want to be, I get that. I don't want to be offensive. It just seems like things have gotten a little crazy.
See?
Oh, man, I was trying to think, do I have enough confidence in my Billy Crystal to come in and attend the church?
I have enough confidence in your Billy Crystal if you ever need to
thank you.
I was just trying to lob Mackie to do a full orgasm like Meg Ryan.
I don't even know what that sounds like.
Oh, John, come on. Damn. You've done that. You can do that.
You've heard a woman faking an orgasm before, John?
Do they not even bother? It's too much of a stretch.
If you could, I mean, maybe you could describe what it seems like, and I could tell you if I've ever seen
Listen,
it.
Listen, sweetie, I'd fake it, but you'd never believe me. You know why. Tough.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to get too into the religious thing. The thing I was thinking about earlier of, like, not. It's hard because I guess I am essentially making fun of being like really devout, but I've seen a lot lately. Like I saw a group of people and they were all wearing like the same sweaters and it was all like church sweaters. And then I was out to dinner the other night and there was a woman there with a cake meeting a party for a birthday. And the box of the cake said, all is possible in Christ's light. And I was like, man, what a thing to have something you're so passionate about that's coming to the birthday with you. Like, that's the cake.
Yeah.
Is like, all I am the Christ person, and it's all I am obsessed with, and it's like what me and my friends know. Like, even the thing that I care the most about, improv, you know, I'm not like coming to a party that's like, Well, as Del Close said, leap and the net will appear. Or
to
whatever.
Be fair, to be fair, and again, I hope we don't have to edit this out. I'm not going to name names, but we did go to a wedding where the vows had a lot to do with improv. I won't say whose wedding. Do you remember that? You don't remember that? There's a lot of improv. There's a very improv right. heavy wedding. I just
Okay. Well, what so can I say? Can, I guess I do have a.
I wouldn't do that.
I like that belief, though. All is possible with Christ's light. I mean, that what a wonderful belief to be able to hold. I don't think all is possible.
No, it's not good, though, because I think that like, it's really not. Like, kids, like, believing that, like, oh, if you just believe enough in Jesus, like, nothing is insurmountable. It's like, it's such a bad way to raise your children. Like,
well, yes, if you're saying all you have to do is believe. I mean, you got to also go to work. you got to show up, you know.
Yeah.
Drew, were you raised?
I was just going to say, like, I have just, like, so many, like not traumatic in that sense, but there's, like, so many, like, memories of that sort of philosophy of, like people just being like, oh, well, that person's going through it. Well, we'll just pray for him and hope it works out. Right. It's just
should we
such
go
a
help
weird...
them? Should we go, like, help yeah. them with their troubles? Yeah.
Like, truly, it's like, I mean, it's the whole, like, thoughts and prayers thing, not to get into it.
Oh, my
but
God.
Like,
here we go.
People thinking that you can just say, well, my thoughts are with you or my prayers are with you. It's like, hey, man, it ain't enough.
But then you also, maybe I am, like, romanticizing it, but it feels like you talk to people from small religious communities and it's like, oh, yeah, everybody's cooking Diane lunch this week because she fell down the stairs or whatever. And, like, that does not exist in our friend group, I don't think.
Yeah.
Or at least it's, like, it's fewer and further between. Maybe I'm conflating two different ideas.
I disagree, though.
Yeah.
I think our friend, like, in our friends group, if, for example, I got, like, super sick and was, like bedridden, I think so many of my friends would, like, reach out and be like, oh, let me do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. I'll take care of you. Like, if I think that it's, like, the my big issue, and this is too serious for a comedy podcast.
Oh, boy.
But my issue is, like, is that, like hardcore Christians believe that, like, morality is based in religion and not in sort of empathy and, like, right. and, like understanding that we are here to help each other. And
they connect
morality to, like, their faith when it's like, oh, I don't need to, like, believe that there's a God for me to want to help a person eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
or that
it's
idea
so
of, like, you're going to hell by default if you're not.
Yeah,
church, or you don't believe in this. You know what I mean? That to me is like, that's always where whenever organized religion tips into this kind of us versus them thing, which it can at a high level of fanaticism, I feel like it starts to do more harm than good.
For me, the devil is real. The devil is realer than the Lord. So I think we go backwards from the devil. If we know the devil is real, then there must be some sort of God. You know what I mean? Because the devil, we know
for a fact
the devil is real, and he's a guy,
and he's red.
Yes.
He's red. He's literally red.
That's your big beef with Rick Ross, is you don't think the devil is a lie.
No. No. I pulled up to Rick Ross's house and I told him he's red. He's red. He's not a lie.
You said the devil is a guy. He's red.
Yeah, the devil is a guy. Here's the question. Rick Ross is part of Wingstop. He reps Wingstop. I think he's like a part owner or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I guess a while ago there was like a wing shortage. And Wingstop was like, we don't mind. We're switching to thighs.
And
so then
they became thigh stop
for a minute. Have you guys had that? Deep fried thighs? Seems intense.
I've probably had them in my life. Like, if you could get like thighs from a KFC, right? Like, if you get a bucket of chicken, one of them's going to be a thigh.
Yeah.
But I didn't do the Wingstop version of it.
How was the math on that? Because, like, chickens have the same number of wings and thighs, but they were just throwing away the thighs? But
I think you'd be shocked at how much food, like, that, like, in the processing of, like chickens, like, party wings that, like, make wings, like, from tiny chickens. Like, that the thigh on that is probably not, like, big enough to, like, sell as, like, a thigh in, like, a package of, like, prepackaged chicken. So they honestly probably do a lot of times just throw away pieces of chicken that don't
work. But that's a great point. The wing is by far the most popular part of chicken.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. for every 8 wings you eat, that's 4 whole chickens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I have eaten probably an offensive amount of chickens in my lifetime.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I think about that of like the smaller the animal, the worse I feel bad for eating it regularly. Because you kill one cow, you're eating off that thing for years. You know what I mean? But, you know, you pretty much eat the whole fish.
Yeah. It's 1-to-1.
The whole chicken.
It's 1-to-1. If I choose to eat that fish, one fish dies.
Yes. Soul
wise. If I choose to eat a steak, and then I also choose to eat a hamburger, and then I also choose to eat some ribs, that's one cow I kill. It could be beef. One of the weirdest things that's ever happened to me relating to eating meat is my cousin works on a cattle ranch. She's like she
don't tell me they confused her with one of the cows. Do not.
No, they didn't.
I couldn't handle it.
This is worse.
Couldn't handle it.
We were at her wedding and they did like this, the like rehearsal dinner with like both families or whatever the night before, but it was on the ranch and we had like hamburgers to eat. And we were all eating these hamburgers. We're like, oh, wow, these are the best hamburgers like any of us have ever had. It's like the best meat. And then like 30 minutes after everybody's already cleaned their plates and fucking just like housed hamburgers for like the whole afternoon, my cousin stands up on a picnic table and is just like, thank you, everybody, so much for coming. Like, we really appreciate everybody being here. We want to say thank you to like everybody's family for flying all the way out here. We also want to thank Bessie and TT, who were the two cows that supplied the beef for the hamburgers you all just ate. Mm. And I was just like, you can't do that. You can't like feed me the burger and then be like, hey, mm-hmm.
we cut to a fancy French restaurant. Thank you again for dining with Modine's. So what I would recommend, of course, if you've read the menu, the tasting menu here, we do a delicious beef tartare followed by the Wagyu steak, followed by delicious lamb chops. And then we end with a wonderful chocolate souffle. Would you care to partake of the tasting menu? It is what we recommend.
I mean, we all said we were going to kind of go crazy tonight to celebrate the promotion. So I say we go, let's go big. Let's do the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Excellent.
I was going to say, I'll do the wine pairing as well. I don't know if you guys are on that chain.
All right.
Okay.
Marta, please lead in. Leading Tito's. So this this is the cow. You will be eating the steak and the burger, and bring in Mario. This is the goat that we will be chopping up for your lamb.
The goat's name is Mario.
And bring in some grapes. We'll be stomping on these grapes, making your wine pairing.
Okay.
If you'd like to pet them or get to know them before the meal, that would be nice, and then we will serve you.
I'll take a look at the grapes, I guess.
All right.
Yeah. Do you guys do this with every meal that somebody buys at this restaurant? Do you show them the animal?
Yes, we believe in a very... there is farm to table, and then what we have is slaughter to table. It's the most fresh possible food.
Wow.
We like you to know the animal, pet them, get to look in their eyes, see the humor, see the soul that you will be stealing from them.
See the humor?
See the humanity?
See the humor and the humanity. Yes, yes, we look at these as funny animals. They have humor. You know, you get to know them, it makes the food that much more delicious. Because how much more delicious is it if you actually know not just the taste of the food, but the taste of the soul? Please, pet these animals, and then we'll take them out back and chop their necks off.
Feels almost like sociopathic to know that.
Yeah.
I guess this is always what's happening when you're eating animals, but to see it so up close is interesting. I mean, I guess I do feel like this is a really expensive, high-end experience.
Sorry, I'm looking at this cow really quick. You showed us the right side, but I'm looking at the left side, and it looks like... Are some of its ribs on the left side already missing? Do you not...
Table 14 wanted to try some of the rib, so we...
So you just took the ribs out, but you kept it alive, and you're walking around the restaurant?
We're not going to be wasteful here. We are... I told you, we're concerned about the humanity of these animals, so we...
Sir, I am trying my best to be upset about this, but I am so hungry. And my biggest concern right now is that we get these guys in the slaughterhouse ASAP. because I am just thinking of the process here. How long is it from slaughter to table?
It's got to be about a couple hours.
Yes, 2.5 to 3 hours.
Let's roll. That is the put the cow out of its misery. Please.
Nice to meet you.
All right.
Nice to meet you.
No, no. Oh, my God.
God.
Oh, God, the recoil on that gun.
Yes. Now, you'll notice the blood that is spattered on your face has the bouquet of oak, a little bit of a taste of wooden char, very tasty appetizer before you.
Wow, that's the amuse.
Yes, are you amused? Because these cows have humor.
Wait, was that a pun on this? On amused also? Is that the cow humor there?
That's good. Very wow. good. You have a cow's humor, my friend. Very nice.
Oh, thanks, Mr.
Congratulations, Brian. That's amazing.
I know.
I've always said that about you.
You know I love Marcel Marceau, so this compliment from a French guy is huge for me.
You're a regular Francophile, and you're funny like a cow. Okay, well, hey. Yeah, I'm like my friend here. I was going to put up a stink, but I can't wait to see the next courses. The amuse was delicious. And I am ready to see what else you guys have. And also, thank you for the grapes. Delicious.
And if it's, and it, but I'm going to go, I am also really hungry. And I'm going to go along with this. And this is the way you guys do stuff. I've never been to France. I don't know. But if you could, if you're going to kill anything else, could you not do it right in front of me? Or just at least tell me to turn away or something. It was a lot to see you slaughter the animal right in front of me.
Alex, so. Their culture. Yeah.
We don't want to insult these guys.
I'm not insulting. I'm asking for my him to respect my culture.
Monsieur, vous les corrompez, American shit. Yes, of course, we will do that for you.
You didn't even say American shit in French.
I did hear you say shit in French a couple of times.
Yeah. I said, you don't know what I say. I speak in French. I say many things.
I don't know French. I've watched so much for Summer So, but he doesn't speak at all. So, yeah, I don't know French.
All right, we will take this out back, and please enjoy. You'll have some surprise appetizer course from the chef. Please enjoy.
Thank you so much.
Surprise appetizer.
God, how cool is this, you guys?
I mean, it's honestly, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. I'll say that.
Well,
you know what? I kind of feel like it's making me appreciate what I eat more. You know, I eat this stuff and I don't care, and they're doing it all the time. But it's like having to see it firsthand is a little bit tough.
It's like you see your impact. Maybe you'll eat less. Meat.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It just seems like they treat the animals pretty well. You know, I just don't care. I'm trying so hard to care, but I've been eating meat for 36 years. And
you are really hungry. You are really hungry.
I can't start caring now.
You put your napkin in you've already put your napkin in your collar and you're holding your fork and your knife like a little kid.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sorry. Can. I didn't even realize that.
I agree.
That
was... I'm just confused about it. I'm not against. I'm going to eat any sort of beef they bring out here.
I'm really hungry. Let me just, excuse me.
Yes, hello.
I noticed you had the caviar on there. I feel like that'll be a little quicker, just the caviar on the little toast points. Could we get an order of that?
Of course. Hang on. Please bring in Wendell.
Is he going to squeeze that right out of the fish?
This is Wendell. This is the fish. Now, this fish is going to lay some eggs. I will need one of you to inseminate the eggs, and then we will have some caviar or holiday for you.
Is that our insemination?
Yes, it is a sort of hybrid, beautiful new recipe from the chef. One of you has to just shoot a load on the eggs, and then we'll take it out back, bring it back.
Well, I'll be honest. This isn't the first time I've been told I look like a beluga whale, so I'm happy to do this.
Nobody said that.
Yes, Jane said it, and I took it as a compliment. I have a big brain, okay? I have a big bump on the top of my head because I have a big brain. So, yeah, let me crank one into this caviar real quick.
Hurry up,
please don't do it at the table. Please don't do it at the table. Please
tank on the table. Go ahead, fish. Go ahead. Okay, it's time.
Jeez, quick. That was quick.
Very nice.
Oh, okay, Jane.
I think the fish just faked it.
No, that was real.
That was real. No, there were no eggs. You just came in the tank. It's just your sperm floating around, my friend.
Well, that was real for both of us. Jane and I both know, or whoever the fish is.
I don't know.
I think it was Wendell. I think her name was Wendell.
Yes, the American no idea how to make love to fish. It's a piece of merde, American shit. All right, we'll see what else we can bring out.
Okay, yeah, look, hey, sir, I'm so sorry. Well, I think we're just really hungry, and this is, like, really shocking to us. I don't think we expected it at all.
I'm like the kind of guy who like does microwave dinners, so I guess I don't see this all the time.
Yeah.
So.
You were going to be surprised either way here, for sure.
Yeah, microwave dinner.
Yeah, his jaw dropped the first time he got tableside guac, so this is... well, I just want to apologize on our behalf, and I just say, hey, can I ask you, is there something on the menu... Because I, the more I think about it, I don't want to eat my friend's fish kids. Is there something on the menu that is like... already prepared, even?
Or? Yes, of course.
You said there was chocolate souffle for the dessert, so I'm hoping that that's normal. Souffle, but is there something else that we could eat, like an appetizer?
We have the tomato bisque soup. Would you like that?
Okay. Yeah, right. I love it.
Okay, excellent. And Martin, bring the haunted tomato bisque. Just come haunted, 1 second.
Haunted tomato bisque?
Yes, it has been haunted by the spirits of a previous diner who complained about the food and something might have happened to them. Please enjoy.
Oh my God.
Did this guy kill the last guy who ordered tomato bisque?
Don't eat the beef! Don't eat the beef!
Don't eat the beef? So you want us to eat you?
Don't eat the tomato either!
This is like the opposite Chick-fil-A. It's like if I'm a...
Here's what happens when you eat the beef. You turn into a tomato.
Oh.
What? There's no way if you eat beef you turn into a tomato. There's just no way.
Okay, try it, bitch. That's what I said, too.
Sir, I can't eat this guy. I'm hungry. Don't get me wrong. I'm hungry. But I just talked to my... Well, I'll do one sip. Let me do one quick sip. Is it a sip if it's a soup or is it a...
Spoonful? I don't know.
This is unbelievable. This is a gazpacho, like, not a tomato bisque. It is ice cold. It's a gazpacho. These French frog fucks. I mean, they can't cook. They think they're good cooks, but they can't cook with shit. This waiter, I mean, look, he's no Marcel Marceau. We all know that.
And we see coming up behind him, a busboy has a huge axe in his hand. He pulls it back, swings it. Chops his head off.
Pan over to a table, like three tables over. I think that is the human we ordered.
I'll have what he's having.
Scene.
When Jacques met French lady.
Yeah. Couldn't think of a French lady name quick enough.
Amelie. What do we think? Amelie.
Amelie, yeah.
Amelie.
Amelie.
All I could think of was Pierre.
Oh, God. That was funny.
Drew,
you guys have any wild dining experiences?
I was going to say you like a nice meal.
I do. That comes
My
mom's a food writer, so like whenever she's in town, you know, she's definitely exposed me to a lot of like good food. And I mean, in LA, I feel like the best shit. This is for anyone of your listeners who aren't in LA but might visit. The best food in LA is in like little strip malls. In like LA's ethnic towns, it's the best, like the best Thai food, the best Korean food. It's not the fancy shit. Like the fancy stuff is, you know, expensive, but it's not as good as like the...
I feel like that's always the case. It's like any restaurant I go to where like the menu, like you got to pay $100 minimum for like a meal. I'm like, there's just very few times in my life have I had that meal and been like, oh yeah, that was better than the weird little like hole in the wall that like somebody recommended was like a secret spot. You go and you eat it. Like, oh, that was the best food I've ever had.
Or even just like street food where it's like,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, street tacos to me is I think my favorite food. And I don't think of it often. Like if somebody said you wanted to go have your favorite meal tonight, I don't think I would think of taco truck, but it is the thing when I leave, I'm the most happy, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder what
that is.
I went to a like really fancy restaurant the other night downtown because like I was supposed to go to a show, but the show got canceled because the band got COVID. And so we just like went to this like fancy restaurant downtown and it was like really good food. I got like a fucking crazy Wagyu steak and I was just like, okay, it is very good. But then like with some distance from it, I'm like, would I prefer to go to that restaurant more than I would prefer to go to like another smaller restaurant that's like Jitlada, for example? I would probably pick Jitlada over that restaurant I went to. And Jitlada's not like cheap, but it's also not like crazy expensive. Well, mm-hmm. But it's like just so much better.
Yeah. I don't think I knew that I felt this way. But the older I get, the more I'm like, oh, this is true, and I just didn't realize it. The physical experience is really important to me, and my perception of what the experience is going to be compared to what it is. Like, if I'm spending more money, and in a fancier place, my physical experience is less comfortable. I'm like less in my body. I'm a little like judgmental of everything because it needs to live up to it. If I'm in like a hole in the wall place or like a mom and pop place, I already feel good about myself. I'm like, look at me supporting this place. I'm like such a hero going out of my comfort zone with like a type of food I don't eat a lot. And so then it's like it's already built in that I'm probably going to enjoy it more because I've given it no like stakes, I think. No pun intended. Like my girlfriend's birthday was last Monday, and so we went and got like massages at a nicer place than I've ever gotten a massage at. So like,
where'd you go?
Burke Williams.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And so like going into it, it's like, okay, this is going to be a pricey thing. So it's going to be fancy. We had both of us get a massage at 3:00. We're driving there at 2:00. We left a little early. At 2:05, they call and they're like, hey, your masseuse canceled. Can you come in at 2:00? And then we'll do your girlfriend after, and hers will only be 50 minutes. And I'd schedule 2 80-minute massages. And there was never an acknowledgement that this was like absolutely insane. That like she called me 5 minutes after. They shortened one of the massages. They extended our day. They like totally shifted our plans. A thing where if it was like the Thai spa that I've gone to a few times down the street, I'd be like, oh, no problem. This is $50. It happens. But this other place, it's like I felt like I was in White Lotus. Like I wanted to be like incensed. I couldn't relax for like the first half hour because I was like, I felt so like gaslit by this rich place and like that I couldn't. I couldn't say anything without feeling like a privileged asshole. I couldn't be like, look, we're paying a lot of money for this. And we expect to be treated a certain way. But that is how I felt in my like guts.
That's also a real thing of like fancier places. Maybe it's only in LA. Sometimes the service is like so shitty for inexplicably. It's like everyone is paying more for this.
Yeah.
Why? You know what I mean? Why are you acting like a piece of shit? Whereas I feel like they places,
can. I feel like they can sense that I'm not one of the people they need to respect. Like, I feel like someone rich was like, hey, I'm going to extend my massage. And they're like, who do we fuck? You know what I mean? They're like, let's take care of this person who's like, you know, like,
I feel like you get that
at a restaurant, too. You get put in like a worse table and you do have like a worse experience than some of the people for the same price, you know?
Yeah, it was like an asshole would have gotten out of there with a free massage and like a great treatment. And like I felt like the world rewards squeaky wheels in a way that's a little obnoxious. And I was like, I was like feeling really trapped trying to be able to be like, how can I express myself and get like satisfaction, but also not be an asshole about it? Just be like a human who's like, hey, we all know this isn't what I ordered and like this is a little bit unusual, and it's impossible to be like, so maybe you'll charge me a little less. Like I've never been able to cross that hump.
Oh, no way.
I have one for this. My aunt is a real stickler. She's not like high society or whatever, but she's a real stickler with like getting what was agreed upon. And if there's a change, she'll reference the change and then she'll just go, how will I be compensated? And it's like, she's not asking for anything, but she goes like, this is what it was. You've changed it to this. How do you plan on compensating for the change we both agree on that happened? Like, it's like acknowledging the
truth. That's a really great line. That's just such a smart little persuasive, you know, like it's implying, it's assuming that you're going to be compensated. Right. But it's putting the ball in their court.
It's like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you're a good business person. So what were you thinking?
You're going to handle it. Yeah.
Shout out to Mary, my Aunt Mary. Smart lady.
Hell yeah, Mary.
I might have her get on the phone with Burke Williams on a little three-way call on my behalf.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got one? Should we keep going?
I've got like halfies, you know.
Let's do a half.
All right. All right. There's the bag. You got the stuff? Money's in the bag. You got the stuff?
Yeah, I got the stuff. I got the stuff.
All right.
I did my end of the bargain. You do the end of your end of the bargain, and we both get out of here, and we're both happy, all right?
All right. Switchblade. Slicing open the bag. That's pure Colombian.
It's pure, man.
Yeah, that's pure.
Yeah, it's pure. It's pure, all right?
Hang on a sec. Let me put this on the scale here. All right.
Don't weigh it. Please don't weigh it.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. I don't think I need to now. I don't think I need to now.
I used a lighter bag. I used a lighter bag this time. The stock is the same weight. The bag's a little bit lighter this time.
How much does the bag weigh? Because I can just hit the little tack button there that resets weight based on the bag weight.
You got one of those?
Yeah.
Knock it off the table.
Hey, that's my goddamn scale.
Yeah, it was broken already. Listen, all right. It's all good. You got the money here. You're going to sit here and you're going to test my pure Colombian in front of me. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to count every single one of these bills right in front of you. How about that? How about that? You want me to do that?
Don't count it.
Unzip.
Don't count it.
Oh, of course I'm going to count it now. And you know what? I'm going to use this robotic one so I know that it's exactly right. I'm going to put it right in here. It's going to fan it out. Here we go.
Short circuits the robot, pours a glass of water on it.
Hey, hang on. What do you, this was an expensive piece of equipment.
Well, that was an expensive scale. All right.
Okay. Okay. Well, it looks like were we both short this month? Let's be honest with each other. We're both short this month.
On the count
of three, we both say yes or no. Were we short this month? Right. Okay.
One. Two. Three. Maybe.
No.
All right. That's a hard no for you. Maybe for me. Shoot. So we're both technically a no.
Listen, let's just be upfront with each other, okay? We've been doing this for a long time. We've got a long-standing relationship. We ain't never had any issues before. That no was a lie, okay? I was expecting you to lie as well because we both seem like untrustworthy people, so I just was going to lie as well. But I'll come clean with you, okay? That is supposed to be... I'm supposed to have given you 3 pounds pure Colombian.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2.985.
All right. Okay?
It's 0.15 off. It's 0.15 off, but you got to understand something.
Hey, listen, y'all two better figure this out. I got six guys in the van that if we don't get this problem figured out, they're going to file out here and they're going to start blowing you away with their guns. All right? Don't make me show you.
There's six of them in there?
Yes.
All right, because I can count to six using my two hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's six guys. Just figure it out. We don't want to get to the guys coming out. Just figure it out.
You got six guys in the back of that hatchback Civic? Because you kept saying van, but van. I see it.
It's a Civic van. Yeah, there's six real guys back there. Let's just not have to get there. Just figure it out.
All right, you're right. Look, I'm sorry. I'm a little charged up. When I tried the product, I think I got a little high on cocaine. And so I'm a little unfocused here. So
all right, I'm pulling out the first of the six guys. Donnie, come out here.
Hey, what's good? So to beat these guys up, huh?
There's five more of those guys in there.
Let me bring out the other guys. Donnie goes back in, closes the door, comes back out. Hey, what's good?
That's just Donnie with a mustache.
It's just Donnie with a mustache. I think one guy in there. You got Donnie, and he's got a bunch of disguises.
Shut the fuck up. I'm going to bring out my brother, Lonnie. He goes back in and closes
the door. Different name.
Hey, good to be here.
You just put glasses on, Donnie.
These might be like Multiplicity Brothers where they get dumber as they go down the line. Like
there's six of them and they're going to blow you away. Listen, I'm the muscle. I handle the escrow of this deal.
We cut to another unmarked white van across the street. Oh, man. Honestly, they've given us more than enough to take them in. They've said cocaine like eight times, but it's too fucking amusing. These guys are bumbling idiots.
Yeah, seriously, how much longer should we get him go? I mean, the more we let him talk, the more we get a chance at having another crime on him.
That's true. All right, let's let him keep going.
Well, you know what? You could show me all six guys in those car. I don't care. I'll kill them just like I killed four people last night. And that's not all the people I've killed in my whole life in cold blood. Oh, that yeah, I've murdered. Right.
Yeah, right. I know you keep a picture of every single one of them in your wallet. Show me the pictures.
Okay, I will.
Wait, those are the six people you killed? Those are all the politicians that I bribed.
I can't I see this shit one- in here. Let's walk up to the light of the window.
Okay.
Yeah, let's stay right here in the window.
We got Carmine Falcone right here.
We cut back to the van. Oh, man. They're fucking showing it to us in the window. I say we give them, like, maybe 60 more minutes. 60 more minutes, and that'll be enough for a conviction.
Perfect. One more hour.
Fellas, just wanted to let you know we're out here. We're out here. We got plenty of backup if you guys need it. I promise. If there's big things going down there, we got so much backup. We got okay. We got the military. We got the whole
Louis,
military.
Louis, it's just you there, man. It's just you and that fucking squad.
No. We got the whole military here. Whole National Guard.
Louis, you never have the whole military.
We talk about it. I'm in good with all the generals. I got the whole military here. Listen, I got a few good men is what I'll say.
All right, let one general talk. Let one general talk to us then.
And he cannot say you can't handle the truth. Do not have to
do not do that again.
Okay, hang on. Hang on. Give me 1 second. Find the DVD here. Swiss and Federal Truth. He didn't say it. What? He didn't say it.
But it sounded like Jack Nicholson.
You think that I played the clip from A Few Good Men in reverse from the DVD?
Yes.
Guys,
hey, Tommy, who else you kill besides Falcone?
Oh, damn. Don't even make me remember. It makes me so sad to remember everybody I killed.
You better say it, otherwise me and my five brothers are going to beat the shit out of yous.
Okay, well, I haven't met this one yet.
My name is Connie. Yeah.
Okay.
I Connie like has been taking time. A character class, I guess, because these are all really different.
Honey, we got to get out of town. I taught a character class to a guy who I think is in with some bad people, and he's not happy with the product.
What?
Who cares?
I taught a character class to a guy in the mafia, and he is mad with the quality of the characters. We have to leave town or I'm dead.
Open up in there!
This guy?
You told me I was going to have six different games. All of these got the same goddamn game, but with a slightly different vocal change.
I can't.
Okay, so he's doing dice right now.
Yeah, that's dice.
Open it up in there. Hickory dickory duck.
I did an exercise where I said, observe six real people in your life. And he came back with Dice Clay. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Sounds like Tony Soprano.
Yeah, Tony Soprano. Pee Wee Herman.
I'm just saying, you gotta open up the door. I'll fucking beat the shit out of you, Christopher. Shut up.
That's Tony. Look, okay, I know all six of you are out there. Let me just give you a refund, all right? With interest.
Oh, God. There he goes. Tony, he's never gonna give you the refund. I should have kept my mouth shut.
That's Livia Soprano, I think. That's Tony's mom, Livy.
Yeah.
He watched The Sopranos, but also Dice Clay. Maybe he, like, left his HBO streamer on or something. I don't know how he got to it.
Yeah, maybe an episode of Entourage that Dice was in was on after A Sopranos.
That's almost definitely what happened. I wonder if we're going to get Johnny Drama.
Scene.
Hey, bro.
Oh, baby.
That's a good halfy, Dan. He says he has halfies.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good halfie.
That was a fully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That ended up. Well, here's the thing with a halfy. With a nice group play, it becomes a fully. Uh-huh. That's what it was.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't have an idea of where I surely didn't know where it was going. And that's how you know it's going to be good improv.
That's the magic of improv.
Can we have the last 10 minutes edited out so I can send it to Saturday Night Live?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, clip it.
I think they've told you multiple times that your guest appearances on improv podcasts do not count. But if you feel like this one will do, then go for it.
I'll tell you what, that is tough language. These don't count. What are they, my father? Jesus.
That's like just a story that Mark Maron has, is that Lorne Michaels because told him that nothing that you do like below 14th Street matters. No one cares.
Ugh,
like what you're doing in like South Chelsea or whatever. Like your little alt comedy doesn't matter to anyone. It was right. Like so harsh and true.
That's really funny, the idea that Marin's like, I can't figure out why I'm not good for SNL. I've never done a character and I'm mean to everybody. Shit.
To be fair, it's when like Colin Quinn was on it. So
right, right. Yeah, I guess he was the perfect right.
But yeah,
at the time.
Well, do we want to listen to a little? We haven't done a listener voicemail in a few episodes.
Yeah, let's do it. I miss our listeners.
Well, as we do, we're going to listen to a listener voicemail. If you want to leave one, 818-465-8656 is the phone number. Leave a true story, 30 seconds to a minute long, and we will do improv scenes inspired by your voicemails. Please and thank you. Here's one from an anonymous caller. It looks like it's about a shower in India. Oh.
Oh, shit.
Let's see what that's about.
Look at that.
Hey, man, dog. My father was in India, and after backpacking, he went and took a shower. And he was called out to his balcony by his neighbors who also went backpacking with him. And he came out with just a towel on. And on the balcony, there was a bunch of monkeys going through his day pack. I guess like packs of monkeys there, really wild. So they were going through his day pack, going for after his gum. So he slapped a towel at them to scare them onto the other balcony that was empty next door. And after, you know, snapping the towel after them, he went to check his bag. And while he was doing that, the like alpha male monkey started like raping another monkey and like gesturing and like screaming at my dad. And I always like enjoyed the image of my dad being like stared down and punked by a little monkey. love the podcast. You get
hey, hey, Ralphie. Listen, bud, thanks again for coming. And look, you are my best man, okay? So I'm excited about this shit. You've been, I don't know, we're fucking best buds. I know this is your like first time being a best man at like an Indian wedding. It's going to be fucking dope. I want you to be there for me.
I love you, man. Whatever you need.
I hate to say it, but can you not tell your story about your one visit to India at my wedding? I know you're dying too. It's going to be all my Indian family there. It's like all that, just this one time. I know you love telling that fucking story. Just this one time.
It's a funny story. I mean,
it's about an alpha male monkey raping another one on the balcony right near you. All right. This is my fucking wedding, man.
I was in a towel
that you took off.
Of course. I hear you. I want to be whatever best man you need for your day. You know what I mean?
Thank you, bud. I love that. Because, you know, it's a big deal for me. I have family flying in from India and stuff. So I know that makes, you know.
I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to have something, like, interesting. You know what I mean? I just want to have something that, like, jumps off the page. So if you have, like, a safe area that you want me to stay in, I'm happy to do that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. What about the story about, you know, when we went to Hawaii? Remember we like hung by the beach, we had that fucking, I don't know, we had fun. Are we on
Hawaii
that boating
was awesome. I mean, it was just kind of like a lot of drinks and sunsets though, you know what I mean? What about what about when I went to South America and we backpacked through the jungle and a snake ate my penis?
No.
Because it's funny. It's funny because you wouldn't expect that someone is going to tell that story in the middle of a wedding. You know what I mean? About their own penis.
That. You would not. That's why I don't want that, man. Also, something about your body attracts animal sexual activity, and you should look into that, all right? Hey, everywhere man,
I can have a sense of humor about it. I would love it if you did as well. But hey, I get it. It's your wedding. I'm not trying to force anything here. Like, if there's something you know about, you know, like, we've hung out for years. Surely there's a story of mine that you like. Are you trying to, should I be thinking of things that you and I have done together? My memories of you?
Yeah, I think that's good. Maybe memories of like when you met Nikki, right? Like how that went.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, honestly, the time I met Nikki.
No.
It's funny because the first time she saw me, I was face down at the mall.
Yes.
I was face down at the mall. There had just been that zoo. What do you call it? Where all the monkeys break out of the zoo and get to the mall.
I don't think there's a single word. Maybe in German, there's some kind of complicated compound word for that scenario. Okay. What ABC News described it as was as a mass monkey outbreak at the Beverly Center. That's what they described that as.
Right. Okay. So we'll start there. and we'll say, from the time that the monkey butt fucked me on the ground.
No, we won't. Nikki. No, no. Look, man, I don't make me regret making you the best man. Okay.
I trust you. I won't.
Just a G-rated.
I'm really sorry. Okay. G-rated. Yeah, that's fine.
Why don't you do this? Tell me a story. Like, remember how we went to that nice, just like, I don't know. We had that nice time in Disneyland, right? Nothing uneventful. We just rode the ride.
Nothing uneventful. Goofy almost killed me. Goofy almost threw me off the Matterhorn. Not before he took his pants down and showed his face to everybody.
Man,
I really wish. Listen. I really wish that I could give you the wedding that you want, but I feel like you're asking me to rewrite our entire history. You and I are bad boys, dude. We are the nature boys, okay? I can't just change who we both are. Don't you remember that time that you rode a hippopotamus for 30 miles down the river only to get out?
Yep.
And what was waiting for us? Bunch of monkeys. They wouldn't let you off the hippo.
Yeah, but I got off the hippo. You, for some reason, started getting fingered by the monkeys. It was this whole fucking...
Well, I'm not going to get fingered by the hippos. Their feet are huge.
You know what? I feel bad.
Everybody. Hope you're having a great time at the wedding. It's now time. Everybody's sort of settled down here, and I'd like to make the first introduction for our first speech. I was just passed this note and told to remind our first speaker about what he and the groom talked about before and to keep it short and clean. I don't know what that means, but here he comes, the best man with his speech.
Woo! Hey, all right. Hey, everybody, how we doing?
Very good, very good.
Obviously, we are here to celebrate Drew Vinicky. I mean, two of my best friends. These two, you know, I've seen their relationship ever since the beginning, and it's just such a beautiful thing to see two individuals that you already think are beautiful come together and make a new, more beautiful union.
Thank you. Awesome speech, buddy.
Whose monkey is this? A monkey is attacking my seeing eye dog.
Sorry, sir, that was mine. I got one. I brought one monkey to the wedding hoping for this. Drew, if you're never going to escape it, buddy, we are wild boys till the death.
God damn it, man.
Make him stop. It sounds awful. What is happening?
Well, I say he's my monkey, but I have no idea how to control him or contain him. He's just a monkey that I purchased. Whoa, he's got your dad's wig.
Scene.
There's part of me that, like, I do kind of dream of having something like that happen, but then you go to sleep and all the consequences are wiped. You know what I mean?
Something like what?
Just be part of, like, a really chaotic wedding or something.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, you're kind of the agent of chaos, you know? But then it doesn't hurt everybody.
Instead of going to a wedding and feeling like, I need to make sure I am as quiet and polite as possible so no one remembers me.
Yes.
It'd be like the exact opposite.
Some people just live out loud like that, you know?
Yeah.
What you want is like, you want a lucid dream of a wedding where you control it and then it's, right. You wake up and it's like,
yeah.
That's right. Do you guys have active dreams? I've been dreaming a lot more lately, I think, or it seems that way, and it's been quite a trip. Are you guys big dreamers?
I recently had a couple of those dreams where I wake up and I have to, like, verify that it wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had, like, a couple of dreams that are, like too subtle. Like, the things that happen are, like, not that crazy, but then, like, the consequences of them would be like, oh, whoa. Like, mm-hmm. like the kind of thing where, like, I have, like, a dream that I have, like, a weird disagreement, like, over text message with somebody. Mm-hmm. And then I, like, wake up and I'm like, wait, was that real? And then I, like, go and look on my phone to make sure that I didn't, like, send mean text to somebody.
Every morning I'm coming into John's room being like, yeah, that was, you had a crazy dream that I clogged your toilet last night.
Came into your room, used the bathroom inside your room.
You had a crazy dream. I heard you murmuring and stuff.
John, wake up, wake up, wake up. You were just having a crazy dream.
It is interesting, those mundane dreams, because it's like sometimes dreams are, I think my interpretation is they're like expressions of your, and I'm the first one to think this, they're expressions of your subconscious, but sometimes they are so literal of just like, earlier today I was worried that I was going to get in a fight with this person, and then I dreamt that we had an argument over text, and it's like a one-to-one. Oh, yeah. There's no message.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I had a dream one time when I was in second grade that, this is embarrassing, but I had a dream that I went at school, went to the bathroom and went to pee in the urinal and didn't unzip my pants. It just stood at the urinal and pee in my pants.
Oh,
like, and I, for like weeks afterwards, I remember thinking that it had actually happened and like living my life for like 2 weeks being like, this happened. I did this.
I just stood face forward and peed myself, and I'm living ashamed.
Yeah. It was like second grade.
I had a thing happen. It was to a friend, actually. Like, we all had this. It was in India. It was this Indian wedding, right? And in Indian weddings, like, the men often, like, wear, it's a very long, either a long kurta or a sherwani. So it's a long top that goes all the way down to, like, your ankle, not ankles, but, like, your below your knees, kind of, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, almost like
a tunic.
Yeah, totally. Looks like a tunic. So. And this friend came super late to the wedding, and he was really embarrassed about why. And he wasn't wearing like the right kind of, he was wearing like a much shorter kurta. And apparently, like, he was on his phone on his way there, or he stopped in a urinal or something when he just got into the hotel, and he bunched up the thing under his neck, and he got a call on his phone, and it fell down. He just couldn't stop peeing, so he just peed all over his long sherwani. He had to go home and change and shit. So he was super late.
Is it like, in the same zone as like my suits for weddings, where they're kind of pricey and you only wear them like a couple times a year?
Yeah, kind of. Sherwanis are like that's a fancy so kind like of jacket kind of thing. Yeah. Just all over it.
Oh, man. I am like, that happens to be more than I'd like to admit. Like, what? Because I'll be wearing a robe or whatever like that. It's never like out in public. I'll be a little more aware, but I'll be like texting on my phone while I'm peeing in a robe and be like, oh, God, the thing came down.
Yeah, that happened to me. I worked at a grocery store. We're just talking about peeing on ourselves. I worked at a grocery store one time for like a summer, and I was in the bathroom peeing, and I had a belt that had just like a really heavy belt buckle on it, and I like undid my belt and I started peeing, and I guess like the belt pulled itself like out of the loops and just like fell down into the urinal.
The belt pulled itself out of the loops.
Yeah. And I looked down.
Like a Pixar belt.
Yeah. Well, the weight of it like pulled it out of the loops or something. And then I looked down and I'm peeing on my belt. In the toilet.
Oh, man.
And I in that circumstance, it's also like metal, so the like, and like the leather is just getting soaked. And it's like bouncing up onto my fucking khaki pants.
Right.
So you could just like see spray on my thighs. It was like truly a nightmare to have to sit there in the bathroom and then like pull it out and then like wash it in like the public restroom sink.
Your next best bet is almost to dip it in a clean toilet. You know what I mean? Like this seems worse, but it's better somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was gross.
Let's see. Am I embarrassed about this? I don't know. I'm in a like a thing that happens when you're like in a relationship and you're around someone a lot is like little things that you're like, this just happened. Like I had to finally, like, just cause there's no way around it, be like, hey, look, when I pee, I'll afterwards like give it like 25 dabs. There's still going to be just one little drop on my boxers when I pull them back up. I just, whatever's happening down there, I'm not getting the full clothes, and I can't like continue to like go pee and then like run into bed and jump in real fast or something like that. Like it's hidden, like, or only pee naked so that it's never happened. Am I the only guy that has this issue, or is it a thing?
No, where it's just, I think it's a common occurrence.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I just don't apologize for it. I think I just go like, what do you expect, man? Yeah.
Dicks are crazy.
It's just like one circle right there. And it's like, well, we all know what happened here. There's no way around this. I can't be like, it's a stain.
Got to everybody replying to this episode being like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? That has weird. Never happened.
I'm a urologist. It's supposed to seal.
I feel like I'm I'm really in the age right now where I'm turning into like a, not necessarily a parent, but at least an adult where you go like, hey, what do you want from me? It is the way it is. Like little things like a piece of pee on my pant. I'll be like, yeah, do you know what happened? My penis is right there. And sometimes I don't care. Like you're making it weirder. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes we just got to let people live their lives and make everything a point out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I need, I need the first point out that's like, hey, we all noticed, so that I'm not in my head being like, everyone knows and is too embarrassed to even say anything.
Yes.
Because that's worse for me. I need like the conversation to kind of have happened and then we move on. Or we all have a great laugh, but we're not really judging me. That's what I can't have.
Of course. Of course. I guess I preempt the judging by go like, you can't judge me. I don't care. You know? Which isn't really.
Only God can judge me.
Yes.
Oh, full circle.
Yeah, light of Christ. I peed on my little boxer briefs in the light of Christ.
You can do whatever
you
want.
Well, Dan, everything is looking good here. You lived a great life. You did a lot of kind things for other people, and you were fair, which not everybody knows, but that's the biggest thing we care about up here.
What a relief. You said I was fair?
You were fair. You were a very fair man.
And yeah.
We really appreciate that in terms of what a good person it makes you.
I was. It's tough. You know, things happen and nobody notices and you want to just tell them you did it, but then you feel even crazier, you know?
Right.
Like, well, you know, I did that. Yeah.
Right. Well, just looking at my sheet here, there's one thing we do need to talk about before you head into the gates. Now, there is a way to stop that pee thing. You know about the pee on your boxers? You used to talk about it. It was a little party story for you. You would use it at every cocktail party about how there's a little bit of pee on your boxers.
Not every party, maybe twice, two or three times, but I wasn't
I'm
like,
looking here. It says you did it at every party you'd ever been to. Anyway, the hole should seal.
Peter. St. Pete. Pete.
Ironic, isn't it? That's what we're talking about.
I guess you're right. Yeah. What do you mean it should seal? I'm sorry. I'm like really jarred.
Are you dabbing?
Here.
Are you dabbing the end before you put it back in the shorts? Okay. You know what?
Oh my God. I just got a little lower in the clouds. What happened there?
You dabbed. You're showing a little bit of hubris at the gates when you have piss on your pants. You need to be more respectful.
If I can be.
You know who loves that kind of thing?
What? Who?
The little man down south. He's red. Do you know about that?
Wait, so
you want to go hang out with the red man?
No. I want to stay in heaven and hang out with red man when he dies, of course.
That's right. He will be here.
Yes.
All right. Well, all I need you to is apologize for the pee in your pants. Promise that you don't have any now. I can't have you enter with pee. And... yeah, just assure us that you're not going to be doing it up here, because if you come in clean, you'll stay clean, but we can't have anybody lying.
Okay, I am so shocked. Even just that this is a consideration, of course, that my penis should have closed, and I'm just saying this, you know, if God made me, and then the hole didn't close all the way, just where am I going to be compensated there? Do you know what I mean? Because I didn't make.
You think this is how it works?
Hole.
You come to heaven and tell the angels they're wrong. You think that's how it works,
man? I've just been put in a really weird position because it feels like I'm being punished for the little pee drops on my boxers when you're telling me that.
Who told you about that phrase? Who told you about the phrase? Because
the compensation. My friend Ryan's aunt Mary did. Yeah. unless that's going to send her to hell. It wasn't her.
No.
Trump told me.
That's a loophole. Okay, that's a loophole. Okay. I do have to compensate you.
You do.
I got to give you a Subway punch card with 9 punches on it. The first sub you buy in heaven will be free.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's a pretty good deal. It's a pretty good deal.
You think you can.
All right. Well, as long as your boxers are clean now.
No, that's not a buy off. Look right here. I have 30 of these. I saved these up. Regret it now. I didn't know I was going to. How did I end up dying? Did I drown?
You were buried in the dump alive, I guess. I don't know why, if they confused you or what.
Well, but My last memory is wondering if I threw away that $2 bill I had. I'm trying to figure out what happened after that. I guess I went looking for it, and they thought I was trash. Anyway, okay, I'll take the subway thing just to get into heaven, because I want to see everybody here.
Okay.
I want to see if my...
And your pants are clean right now, currently. You can go change, but you only get one shot at this.
I get one change?
Yes. And they have to be clean in the front and the back. We didn't talk about the back, but they need to be clean in the back as well.
Well, now I feel like these are unreasonable expectations. How many people are even in there?
I mean, most.
Really?
Millions. Most people got front and back? Millions of people.
Most people got front and back.
Only the worst people go to hell and hang out with the red guy.
Okay, so he is real and he is red. That's cool. That's interesting and scary. All right, let me just, where do I change? I'm going to be honest with you. I was holding one. I was holding one in, and I think a little came out. I just want to change, clean up.
There's a little cloud room right over there.
Okay, great. Anybody in here?
One sec.
God damn it. God damn it.
Everything okay, buddy?
There's just too much.
You know what? Maybe I just got to go to hell. There's too much. There's no way
don't give up that quick, buddy. No, come on.
There's no way I'm going to be able to clean up in here.
This feels like an unreasonable rule. I'm sure you can make it out.
No, I'm just coming out. I'm coming out naked.
No. Well, hang on.
Here they are. Everybody see the pants here? Yeah, it's me.
Peter grabs a lever on a cloud, pulls it. A huge chasm of fire and brimstone opens below this guy, and he falls.
There's too much.
Welcome to hell.
Oh, hi. Oh, my God. You're the devil.
Yeah, as you can see, I'm blue. Those motherfuckers.
Oh. No. It's
stereotypes. Bullshit.
No, it's okay.
There.
Yeah, I didn't trust him anyway. When they told me I couldn't come in with pee or poop on my pants, I was like, there's too many rules.
You got some pee in your pants?
Yeah, I got both on me.
Ah, my man.
Front and back. Welcome. Front and back loaded.
Welcome, my man. Welcome.
Well, come you're stoked in. About this?
Hell yeah. Here we go. Nice. All of us got a little pee on our pants, baby.
Oh, wow. Yeah, turn around.
Check it out.
Wow, it's like bleeding through.
Yeah.
Cool pants, though.
Oh, thanks, man. I got them on sale.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you have like a hell sponsored like punch card to Macy's or something like that?
Yeah, exactly, actually. And you, very my cool. friend, get one right here.
Nice. Wow.
Now, if you look around here, one thing you'll notice, things are a little crazy around here.
Yeah. It is definitely not what I expected. I'll be honest. I think everything that they told me about this place up there is wrong.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's the opposite.
You're blue. It's ice everywhere.
It's icy cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freezing.
Yeah. Oh, hello. Hello. Welcome to hell. Is this do we have a new one here?
We do indeed.
I'd like to meet all of them. Hi, I'm Princess Diana.
I didn't want to say.
Well, no, I am. I was supposed to get into heaven, but I had a little on the back, and I tried to change, and then I got a little on the front, and, it wasn't what I wanted, but here we are.
I want to know who's even up there if you're down here.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It makes you wonder what kind of psychopaths keep it that clean down there, you know?
I honestly don't trust it. I always hear Peter saying, oh, yeah, there's like 60,000 people in there. And then he goes in a door and he comes out with a little wig on or something and he does a voice. I don't think there's anybody up in that door.
Yeah. Right before he sent me down, after talking to Peter, I talked to Saint Peter Griffin. This is still Princess Diana, by the way.
Yeah. Hello, it's me, Mrs. Doubtfire. I accidentally pissed all over my dress when I forgot who I was.
Okay.
I was the man and I peed on the woman.
And in here in hell, whatever character you come in as, you are her embalmed in that exact identity. So
damn.
That's why we kept her here. So, yes.
So wait, is that
it was a run by... pissing.
It's how it is. We had someone who died during an SNL audition they were doing, and now they're forever Michael Imperioli.
What a... That's too specific of an impression for an SNL audition.
I know.
Or did
I know.
It happen in, like, 07? Or was it a...
No, it happened recently. It was...
Peter! It was Saint Peter, come in here.
Yes, yes. What is it, Lord?
Are there really not that many good boys and girls down on Earth? Heaven is almost empty. I'm getting bored and lonely in my little room.
Oh, I didn't know that's what we were doing, to be honest. I didn't know we were just here to play with you.
Scene.
Oh, my God. I honestly feel like that episode took me to a new level of understanding. Mm.
That was a religious experience for me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought so.
I know what I believe.
I think you should hit up the Reddits. Hit up the Reddits. Market this episode to Christians, vegans, like all the scenes we did.
Yeah.
Jews.
Christians, vegans, Jews, vegans, devil worshipers.
Sure. Definitely Christians.
That's right.
British people who loved Doubtfire. I meant to say Diana. I said Doubtfire.
Remember when Doubtfire was in the royal family?
Now, Dhruv, thank you for doing the show. Thanks for talking the big, important stuff with us. Where online can people find you, and is there anything you would like to plug? This will be out on the 24th.
You can just find me on Instagram at my full name, Dhruv Uday Singh. It's probably spelled in the episode, so you can it there. What do I have to plug? No, nothing. I don't know. I promote shit on Instagram when I do it, but that's about it.
Fantastic.
Beautiful. You being funny, man.
Yeah, you're just funny.
Promote it, dude. Promote it.
Now, Good Trouble's on Hulu, right?
That's right. You can watch me on a steamy Gen Z show called Good Trouble, getting in all kinds of sexy hijinks.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
It's on Freeform and Hulu. You can also, I'm on the show called On the Verge on Netflix. I don't know. Just watch it if you want. Yeah. If you want.
Yeah. I think the people are going to want to.
Here's the thing I'm wondering. I've always wondered about plugging stuff or like promoting stuff online. I need to know the actual percentage of engagement. Because do you guys hear something and look someone up afterwards? Like, if you like them on it?
I think eventually I must. Maybe not on the first one, but if I'm seeing enough of their stuff pop up, I'm like, oh, I don't want to miss it.
Okay, yeah. Mm. Well, that being said, my lack of trust in plugs. John, is there anything you would like to plug?
No. I mean, probably the same kind of stuff you guys want to plug. BigGrandeWebsite.com. You can buy all of our cool stuff. You can find me on the internet at It's John Mackey on Instagram and Twitter.
You've been Twitch streaming a little more again.
I've been getting on Twitch, playing a little Elden Ring, that game, a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you like that, you can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/It's John Mackey.
Keep your eyes from beautiful directing from my man.
Oh, yeah. I just did some commercials that I don't know if they're ever going to air, but we'll see.
Nice.
They're good.
Yeah.
Good. I've seen a cut.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing the show. BigGrandeWebsite.com. We are weeks away from our next release on there, so keep an eye on our social media for finding out what that's going to be. And Patreon.com/YouTheManNowDog. If you listen to the free version of this episode and want to watch the full video, get two-man podcast once a week from Ryan and I, and get extended versions of all the episodes. You get the full backlog in there. It's a great thing. Big ups to Annie Wu for the logo, Brian Holmes for editing and production help, Hannah Rehack for production and social media help, and Casey Trailer for the theme song. Anything else, Ryan?
It takes a village, folks, and we really appreciate everybody that helps us bring this comedy to our village.
Welcome to the village. I am M. Night Shyamalan, and this has been my favorite movie.
Love it. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Thanks for doing the show. We love you.
Bye.
Hell yeah. Thanks, dude.